Good morning. We continue with our study of Nachyomi as we do every single daily. Nishmas Abi Moria, Rav Hillel ben Meir, Yechamechel, Zechorono Lebracha, and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zechorono Lebracha. And today we are in Sefer Zechariah. We are going to complete Sefer Zechariah with Perek Yedalid, which also happens to be the Haftorah for the first day of Sukkot. In the process, Hine Yom Bala Hashem Bechulak Shlalech Bekerbech. Zechariah begins, he says, behold, the day of Hashem is coming. Then it's the day of Gog Magog, when Gog Magog goes into the land, and your spoils will be divided in your midst. And of course, over here, that the spoils of war that we will seize from Gog Magog will be brought to Yerushalayim to be divided among the people of Yerushalayim. So God says at that point in time, I will gather all the people to Yerushalayim for war. The nation's leaders will try to capture Yerushalayim. Hashem says, I'm going to gather all the people to Yerushalayim. The city will be captured. The houses pillaged. The women attacked. Half the city will go into exile, and that the inhabitants of Yerushalayim will be taken captive to Gog and Magog's encampment outside the city walls, and only those people who still need purification will be taken out at that point in time. But the rest of the city, the rest of the city will not be uprooted from the city. Hashem will intervene, and he intends on rescuing. So why will he first let the enemies go into half the city? And the answer is, by doing so, the nations will not be able to say on the Yom HaDin that we didn't come to Yerushalayim, we just came to bow before Hashem. So Hashem's going to have to be able to create a situation where they will be guilty. So Hashem's going to come forth at that point in time when half of Yerushalayim is conquered. Hashem will come out and take and avenge his people. Hashem, on that day, Hashem's feet will kaviyachol be on the Har HaZeisim facing Yerushalayim from the east, and Har HaZeisim will split in half from east to west, forming a huge gorge in that period in time. And half the mountain will shift to the north, will shift to the south. The splitting of the mountain will be a sign from Hashem, just as he was able to split the mountain and move the two halves apart. He'll split the enemy's army and cast the soldiers to the side. And so Hashem says, "Benastem geharai, ki agia geharim el atal." So Hashem says, then you're going to flee through the valley created by my mountains. In other words, after feeling the force of the earthquake, the Am Yisrael will run away in panic from the mountainous region surrounding Yerushalayim through the Rift Valley where Har HaZeisim splits, says the Radak, arguing that there's less likelihood of the earth ripping itself open twice in the same location. And so the mountain will get you to Atzel, which is the name of a certain location outside of Yerushalayim, about 31.5 miles outside of south of Yerushalayim. And 1.5 of the Har HaZeisim will stand there. And that's where the city of Yerushalayim will theoretically, according to the Malbim, be relocated. And Hashem, with all the holy beings, will come to you on that day. In other words, all the angels will come to Yerushalayim, says the Radak, and they're going to join in to the battle. On that day, there will be neither bright light nor thick darkness. In other words, after these cataclysmic events, the Am Yisrael will experience bracha and also adversity. And it's not going to be clear what's going to be going on at that point in time. So Hashem says, on that day, there'll be one day, and only Hashem knows when that day will be, when the Geula will come. It'll be a day of neither day nor night, but in the evening, there'll be light. In other words, at the time of this situation, the people will not, the supernatural light of the Olam Haba will not yet be perceived, but the people won't experience the dark despair of the Gullus at that point in time. It's sort of an in-between stage. That's the way many of the Mefarshim try to explain this particular day. On that day, running spring water will flow from Yerushalayim. Half of it's going to go to the Eastern Sea. Half of it's going to go to the Western Sea. It's going to happen in the winter and the summer. That is to say, the spring will begin flowing after the splitting of the Harazisim, says Rashi. And it's going to go into the Eastern Sea to the Yam HaMelech, and then also into the Mediterranean. And on that day, the Hashem will be king over the whole world. It'll be evident to everybody, or at least to since everyone is coming to fight Yerushalayim, says the Radak. But there will be a time that HaKadosh Baruch will be recognized by Yomo Yiyah Hashem Echad, God will be one, and the nations will renounce their false faiths, and they'll have no one to believe in but Hashem, Ushmo Echad, and they'll know in no other name to recognize Hashem. Yisov kol haaretz karava migeva l'rimon negev Yerushalayim. So what happens is, at that point in time, all the land will be like a plain from Geva to Rimon, south of Yerushalayim. And as we say in the Haftarah over here, all the land will be like a plain from Gevet to Rimon, south of Yerushalayim. Yet Yerushalayim will become higher and stand in its place from Binyamin's gate to the side of the first gate to the corner gate, and from Hananel's tower to the king's caves. In other words, Hashem will transform all the world, says Rashi, based on the Yalkut Shimoni, into a flat plain. And that's what's going to happen from Geva to Rimon. And according to the Malbim, this pasuk is describing how Yechezkel's nevuah concerning the relocation of Yerushalayim will be fulfilled. First, a flat valley will form between Geva and Rimon. And Geva is a point south of Yerushalayim. Rimon's the new site. And the holy city of Yerushalayim is going to be raised up. The Gemara Bava Basra says, in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will elevate Yerushalayim 3 parsa, 8.3 miles high, higher. And although Yerushalayim's size will increase, it will be situated always in the same site as it always was, says the Radak. In other words, according to Mitsudos, after Titus destroyed Yerushalayim, the city was rebuilt on a different site. And once again, we say that this is going to go back to its original site. Even Yerushalayim will be relocated; it'll still stand on that mountain. So we may have to reshift it. And maybe that's what we experience today when we talk about Yerushalayim as being expanded as it's never been before. People who inhabit the city, there'll be no more killing. There's so much evil that takes place, even with the most recent times, with some of the tragedies that we're going through. But, of course, Yerushalayim will be able to dwell securely, says the Malbim, at that time. That, unlike the previous years, Yerushalayim will then feel safe in the city because they'll feel the Shekhinah there. And at that point, Mashiach ben David will finally reveal himself, says the Ibn Ezra. There's going to be a plague against all the nations that fought against Yerushalayim, Gog and Magog's army. And what's going to happen is their flesh will rot, even as they stand on their feet, their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongues will rot in their mouth. On that day, there'll be a great confusion from Hashem, and they'll grab a hold of each other's hand, with each other's hand raised against the other. Right? In other words, what's going to happen? And what's going to happen is Judah will also prepare for battle against Yerushalayim, which is a fascinating idea. Those people will be conscripted by Gog and Magog to lay siege in Yerushalayim. They're going to also have to get ready to fight. But after the plague is going to be there, the people in the ranks will swiftly gather up the booty and leave nothing left for the people of Yerushalayim. It's also going to affect the armaments, right? The plague of the horses, the mules, the cattle, the donkeys, everything else will just also suffer just like this. In other words, their surviving soldiers won't be able to retrieve the livestock, the tanks, or the vehicles. Whoever survives, they're going to go ahead every single year to come up and celebrate all the holidays, and of course Chag HaSukkos, and they'll specifically celebrate Sukkos because that's when Gog Magog will have been taking place. And by bringing the Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, they'll commemorate the miracles that they have experienced, so suggests the Radak and the Malbim over here. And when any of the nations of the world don't go down to go ahead, they won't get rain. In other words, it's a punishment because one of the themes of Sukkos is rain. And so when the nations of the world decide they're not coming to visit, it doesn't happen. If the Egyptian nation, who doesn't get rain, if they don't come, so in such a situation, they'll suffer a different magefa, which Hashem will give to those who don't come on Chag HaSukkos. That's going to be their punishment for those people who don't go ahead. So on that day, horses' bells will have the words Kodesh Lashem sanctified. In other words, it'll be so widely known that the horses' bells were Mukdash. It will already be there. And that's a nevuah that the goyim who come to Yerushalayim will also be makdish, they will consecrate all their possessions to the Beis HaMikdash, even the strings of bells around their horses. And of course, everything else, mitzilas asus, the horses' bells mean. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, in the future, Hashem will expand Yerushalayim's boundaries by the distance of that a galloping horse can cover from sunrise to sunset. That's how big Yerushalayim will be. And that's the process over here. Rabbi Elazar says, in the future, all the bells that people place between their horses' eyes will be Kodesh. Rabbi Yochanan says that all the spoils of war, which Am Yisrael sees from sunrise until a galloping horse's shade directly underneath it, and there's still half the point of the day, that will all be Mukdash. And that's the whole idea over here as well. And it's Kim Mizrakim, So Zechariah closes out his nevuah by saying that every pot in Yerushalayim and Yehuda will be sanctified to Hashem, and all those who bring karbanos and take from them to cook in them. On that day, there will no longer be merchants in the house of Hashem. What does that mean? Because of the great amounts of gold and silver set aside to the Mikdash, the treasurers won't need to raise funds by selling the land in the Beis HaMikdash. And Rashi points this out in Masechet Pesachim. After the people of Yerushalayim and Yehuda give all their pots over to the Beis HaMikdash, the people come up, the Olei Regel won't need to purchase them anymore, and the lack of the demand will cause the pot merchants who would gather to look elsewhere to sell. Whatever the case is, what does that mean, that there won't be a Kanani anymore? So Rabbi Yirmiyah, Masechet Pesachim, says the Hebrew word Kanani is a compound of Ein Kanani. There's no poor man here. And also in the Beis HaMikdash, slaves from Givon will no longer be used anymore. Even the greatest of the Goyim, the greatest contractors, will vie for the honor to become a servant to a priest. And that's the way things are going to be in the future. Be'ezus Hashem, we should get there soon. B'mheira v'yameinu, everybody have a fantastic, amazing day.